You know, sweet and sour sauce. It's hard to describe the taste of sweet and sour. But it's good if you like it. It's not sweet, it's not sour, but it's sweet and sour. And there's something about sweet and sour, you know, I guess the only way to describe it is just sweet and sour. Well, the work of God in some ways is similar. There's a happiness that comes in working for God, and a joy, and a thrill in living for God. And that's sweet. And then there's the challenge of maintaining your relationship with God and trying to help others to see the need to maintain a walk that's consistent and approved of God. And sometimes there's seemingly a mixture of sweet and sour in the effort to try to make others know that everything that we are doing is still worth doing. That everything that God has given us is still ours. And everything we've ever been happy about is still there. And if we're not in any area finding ourselves happy, we need to find out what happened and get rid of the sour. Because God's way doesn't really have a place for the sweet and the sour. We get sour out, and blessed and sweet is the way of God. There is not a mixture of joy and unhappiness that works together. It's either we are joyful or we're not. Amen. Can't be both ways at the same time. Can't be happy and unhappy at the same time. Have you ever tried it? Yeah, it's possible to cry and laugh at the same time. But when you do that, it's either tears of joy, and the laughing is because you're happy, or it's tears of sadness, and you're laughing because you're nuts. Or something's crazy going on. But we need to always remember the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if there's something else, anything else, that we depend on for strength, we may forget where the joy is supposed to be and what it will do for us. I'm not saying that's happening to any of us or anybody necessarily maybe listening or watching right now, but it does happen from time to time. I've been there, done that. I know what I'm talking about. I know what it is to have the joy of the Lord and feel the strength of God in your life during church, and the next day feel like all hell broke loose. Amen. And maybe I'm the only one that's gone through that.
No,
I wasn't there, but it sounds like I got somebody's number. Somebody seems like I have some folks that can relate to what I just said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not here to sermonize tonight. I don't think you need another sermon. I'm not here. I do have scriptures. There's a whole Bible full of them here in front of me, and I'll probably read some of them. But I'm not here to try to impress you with my words. As Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words tonight. But I hope that something in what is said will find a place in your heart that comes from the source of our strength.
Hallelujah.
To give you something that you need for now and for tomorrow and for the next day.
Hallelujah.
Not just something to keep you till the end of this sermon or the end of this lesson or the end of these words. I just want to point you back to what's already there.
Amen.
Amen. I want to direct you to the road that is the road. When I lived in British Columbia, there was one highway. It was the Alaska Highway. It went all the way. I was at mile zero on the Alaska Highway. And the Alaska Highway was the only highway from where I lived to Alaska. Amen. Anybody that drives to Alaska will go through the town where I lived at one time called Dawson Creek. Because all roads taking you to Alaska from the United States well, at some point, sooner or later, put you on the Alaska Highway. Amen. And once you get on that road, sometimes the way gets rough. They've been trying to pave that highway for 50 years. It doesn't stay warm enough long enough for them to get the job done. And you got trucks and you got buses and you got traffic, you know. And by the time it thaws out, it's time for it to freeze again. So you got 1,500 miles of gravel road. And when you drive the Alaska Highway in the summertime, it's still the only road that'll get you there if you're going to drive. And no matter who you are, and no matter how much experience you have in driving that highway, you're going to have some bumps on the way. But if you plan to get to Alaska, you're going to have to stay on the road. Because it's the only road that'll get you there. There are no shortcuts. There's nothing. There's nothing. You can go any direction you want to. But if you're going to get to Alaska, you're going to have to get back on the Alaska Highway. When you're on it, you're going to meet things that are going to scare you sometimes. Trucks driving 80 miles an hour facing you on a little narrow gravel road with potholes, not just potholes, but just big holes in the road. Amen. And if you had a good windshield before you started the trip, you're going to have a bad one when you end. You cannot drive the Alaska Highway in the summertime without getting chips all over your windshield. Amen. In the wintertime, it's still the only highway that'll get you there. It can get very cold, and it can be very slippery and very dangerous. Because you go through the Canadian Rockies, and you find yourself looking down thousands of feet just a little ways from the road that you're sitting on that's covered with snow and ice. No guardrails, just a drop off. If you take some binoculars and you look down and you see what's down there, if it's not too deep in snow yet, you'll find some cars and trucks. And nobody's ever bothered to try to recover the bodies. They're so far down that people just said you can just stay there. So you don't want to get too close to the edge. The only way you're going to find joy at the end of that journey is if you stick with it, no matter what you go through, and stay on the road and be consistent. Hallelujah. You got to keep going on. You got to keep recovering when you go through these bad spots. You got to keep on fueling up. You don't just fuel up and drive like we do around here till your tank is right next to empty and then hope you can get to the next station. You may not see another station for 250 miles. So you have to fill up every time you see anything that looks like a gas pump. Same way with the road that we're traveling on to get to heaven tonight. Every opportunity you get, fill up. Every chance you get to make sure that you're on the road. Get on the road. No matter what's going wrong. No matter what has come at you from any direction, you know the only way is the highway. The only way to get us to God is God's way. The only way to victory is the way that God has provided. There is no other way. Amen. We're traveling the Jesus way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Hallelujah. And there are potholes on this road, it seems. I'm not saying there are potholes in Jesus, but I'm just saying for us who are trying to stay on the Jesus way, we do hit bumps. We do have things that come against us. We have things that offset us sometimes. Praise God. That's why we need the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. No matter what goes wrong, keep that joy. Amen. I'm not talking about just make Jesus happy. I'm talking about let Jesus keep you happy. Look around once in a while. Make sure you're on the right road. Because if you're on any other road, it's just going to take you out into the swamps or off a cliff, or it's going to take you into where the bears are. You don't want to get eaten alive. Praise God. We had a bear knock a man off a bicycle when I lived in Dawson Creek, right downtown. Just came running out, just knocked him off his bicycle. Amen. I woke up in the middle of the night, I had a dog. Somebody gave me this real large dog. It was a Great Dane. And I don't know, they just told me I could have him. And you know, it got so cold in wintertime, we felt like we needed to keep him in the house. But we didn't do that too long. We saw what all he was capable of doing inside the house. He was a big dog. Big dog. I woke up in the middle of the night one night and there was a noise going on in my backyard. And my dog was in a fight with a big black bear. The dog won. At least he ran him off. Amen. But I didn't go out there to try to stop the fight. I didn't want to get involved in, you know, there are some things we should have sense enough to know. You don't go there. You don't put your hand out there to try to change anything. You just stay where it's safe. You know where I got my joy that night? Knowing that there was a wall between where I was and where they were. Hallelujah. I was driving along the Alaska Highway one night, and there was a little side road. I knew it didn't go very far. None of those roads go very far once you get on that highway. They all come to a dead end somewhere up there. But I took one just to see what I could find. And as I went over a bump, over a little small hill, and suddenly I saw something in the middle of the road. It was a bear, a big bear, lying in the street, or the street, lying in the road. And I had to put my brakes on and slid right up to that big old bear. He was just lying there in the sun, acting like that's a nice place to sleep. My vehicle slid until it got right up to that bear and bumped him. And he got up about like Brother Dana in the morning when he gets up. Like, real slow, looking at me like I did something wrong. I sat there and looked at that bear. He got up slowly and turned around and just looked at me. And I was real thankful again that there was something between where I was and where he was. I made sure the windows were rolled up real good. And the doors were locked. But that bear turned around and looked at me. And slowly he walked into the woods with his eyes fastened on me. You know what I didn't dare do? I didn't dare get out to see where he's going. I didn't track him down to see where he was headed to. I didn't follow him. Praise God. There's some things you just don't want to mess with. In order to maintain your joy and happiness, there has to be some separation from things that could hurt you, from things that could destroy us. Sometimes we just have to get on the road and then make sure that while we're on the road, that we have some kind of protection there. But you know what God has promised? That He would be our shield. That He would surround us with a hedge of protection. The Word of God indicates in several places that we are protected on every side, from above, from beneath, and all around us. Praise God. He has something that He's given us that keeps us from danger. Praise God. Just being in the right way and going in the right direction and making sure you stay where the safety is. You do that with praise. You do that with saying, thank you, Jesus. You do that by checking yourself once in a while and making sure you're still in the faith and you still have the faith and you still know what to do and how to get it done and how to keep it going. And how to keep returning. And how to get yourself back on the road when you get off the road. Because there is no other way. There is no such thing as you go your way and I'll go my way. And we'll all end up. No, if we all end up together, we're sooner or later all going to have to get on the same road. And it's a long ways from here to there. But once you get on it, praise God, it's the only one that will take you there. Thank you, Jesus. And there's joy along the way. I don't care what happens. There's joy along the way. Just knowing that you're in a good place where the enemy can't get to you. There's something between me and that out there. It's called J-E-S-U-S. Jesus, be a fence all around me. Jesus, be a fence all around me. Let me make sure that no matter what's going on, there's something between where I am and that that's out there that could hurt, that could destroy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Ephesians, or in Galatians, that is, Galatians. Amen. In the 5th chapter, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. I was just looking at my road map here. And I was seeing that there are some things that we just need to make sure that we check to make sure that we don't become weary when we know we're doing the right thing. We're going the right direction. And that we are where we're supposed to be. In a small congregation like this, it's difficult to speak on any subject that has some sweet and sour mixed in without feeling like you got to be careful that you don't step on somebody's toes, because we're like a family, aren't we? But you know what? Sometimes, no matter how much you love one another, sometimes you just have to say it straight. Don't become weary in well-doing. What that saying is, don't get tired of being a child of God. Don't get bored with this stuff. This is good stuff. Don't start taking it for granted. What you got is same old. Oh, no, it's not. This is the best thing that's ever going to happen to you. There's never going to be an opportunity to do anything like this opportunity. Hallelujah. There is not anything in this world that will give you more peace and more joy and more happiness than just being a child of God and doing what you know to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now we can try things and it gets a little sour when we do. He that soweth to the flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. What that simply means is if we just have to make ourselves feel good, we may find ourselves feeling good about the wrong things. We may find ourselves involved in things that make us feel good that should be the time and the energy involved maybe should be more balanced, because God still teaches in His Word, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the good ways of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, anything that you're involved in, anything that I'm involved in, it's going to be something that was probably made by sinners' hands, or either roads that were paved by sinner people, or whatever it is that we enjoy doing, or wherever we enjoy going, or whoever we enjoy being with. We're going to find ourselves having to associate, and in one way or another, go down avenues where corrupt individuals are doing corrupt things, saying things that are not Christian-like. We're going to find ourselves in whatever effort we're involved in, hearing words we don't want to hear, and seeing things we don't want to see. But this old flesh wants to find some kind of happiness out there anyhow. We find ourselves wanting to be accepted by some of them. But you know what? There comes a point where we need to always remember there are some things that are just not acceptable with God. But when we stay on the road, or at least within sight and know that we can get on the road, in other words, there's no place to go except on the road for a child of God. If you stop, you may get run over. If you go backwards, you're going to get in trouble because it's a one-way road. This is a road of no return. You get off to the side and the people of God just keep going on. You find yourself complacent, doubtful, confused, bored, not feeling right anymore in your heart, and you're on the side where all the boogers are. The monsters are out there. The problems, the devils, the wolves, those things that'll hurt you, the bears that'll tear you up. Hallelujah. And that's why sometimes people can go to church, and I've been in some big churches and I've seen this happen many times, where we can have a glorious church service, and some people be talking in church while the preacher's preaching. Not paying any attention, because there's something else more important than the Word of God. Boy, I notice all the talking stopped then. Hey, it's okay to praise the Lord. Now, you have to use the same vocal cords to praise the Lord as you do to be concerned about what's going on in the seat beside you. Wouldn't it be better just to put your mind on Jesus and focus on the way? Because we're here for just a moment. Just a moment. We need to make the best of this moment. Right here in this place. Jesus has come to meet our needs. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I've seen in some of these churches, it doesn't matter how good the preacher preaches. He can really, really just let God just take control. I've seen ministers in my lifetime that were able to yield themselves to God in such a way that it almost seemed like Jesus Christ Himself was up there in the pulpit. I was so blessed just to be there, and I felt such an anointing and such a presence and such an inspired knowing that God was inspiring this man of God to be a channel to bring to me the Word of God that I needed to heal me, to set me free, to lift me up, to give me victory. Hallelujah. And I've heard people that sit right in that same congregation hearing the same thing saying, wasn't that a boring service? People that used to rejoice. People that once raised those hands and waved them and said, hallelujah, thank you Lord for the victory. Praise God for the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you've ever had a testimony that was sweet, don't be sour today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you've ever been on fire for God, don't be cold today. If you've ever found yourself going forward on the right way, don't find yourself on the sidetrack watching everything go by today. Get back in line. Go back to the front where you used to be. Set toward the front of the church. Raise your hand. Be the first one to testify. Be the first one to get to church. Be the one that starts it when it's time to pray. Be the one that's excited no matter what the others are doing. This is the right way. Thank you, Jesus. This is the right way. Be not weary in well-doing. Because when you become weary in well-doing, you lose your vision. You lose your zeal. You lose your excitement. You lose your thrill. And you forget what it is that you've got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to forget what I've got. So what are we going to do with these people that become weary and well-doing? Kick them out? Run them off? Kill them? Beat them up? Hallelujah. Hopefully, if you've ever been excited about living for God, you're still at least a believer. And God chose the foolishness to save those that believe. The foolishness of preaching. That's what I'm doing right now, to save your soul. Just like if you were sitting out there on that gravel highway with a little thin piece of metal and some glass windows between you and a big bear that's mad at you. Amen. I'm here to tell you to stay in the car. Stay in the church. Stay where you can be happy. Stay in the comfort zone. Stay in the place where you know that you're all right. Because we've got something greater than windshields and windows and metal surrounding us. We've got a tower of strength where we have run into already and found ourselves safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Hallelujah. Ain't no airplane going to knock this one down. No terrorist is going to come along and cause harm in this tower. Amen. As a song I wrote says, the mighty towers that men have built shall crumble to the ground. I wrote that song 35 years ago. And in just a few years ago, 2001, two big towers crumbled to the ground just 100 miles from here, killing a lot of people. I didn't realize what I was writing at that time. But now when I sing that song, the mighty towers that men have built shall crumble to the ground. It has a different meaning than when I first wrote it to me. I always see now when I sing that song, I see those twin towers crumbling to the ground. And they were built to last. They were built to stand. They had safety features. They had been inspected. They were there to be safety. Places where people could do their business and could go every day and count on the engineers did their work and count on the fact that everything is as it should be. But something went wrong. But the mighty tower that God has built will not crumble to the ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how much the earth quakes. It doesn't matter how much children is disobedient to parent. It doesn't matter how many wars and rumors of war we hear. Nothing's going to bring down this tower of our God. And we just need to be in it all the time. All the time. Always knowing, hey, this is worth staying with. Like I said years ago, I had this vision that said, stay with the fire, stay with the fire, stay with the fire. All that was saying is stay excited, be enthused, always have joy, be of good cheer. I still hear one saying as it crosses a stormy sea, it is I, be not afraid. Hallelujah. It is I, be not afraid. Peter said, if that's you, Lord, let me come out there where you are. If that's you, Lord, let me come out there where you are. Praise God. Some of us may need to say those words too. Lord, if that's really you, let me come where you are. It may seem impossible for you right now to be as excited as you once were. It may feel right now like it's somewhere in some other world when you had that zeal, that excitement. That's something that kept you wanting to go forward. That's something that gave you so much excitement and zeal you couldn't wait to get to church. You couldn't wait to raise those hands. You couldn't wait to praise your Lord. You couldn't wait to see what's going to happen next. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Him for a moment. Praise Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, if it's you, let me come where you are. Hallelujah. I'm going through a stormy time. I'm afraid, I'm fearful, things don't look so good right now. But Lord, if that's you, let me come where you are. It may seem impossible, but the first thing you're going to have to do if you're going to get where He is turn loose of whatever security you think you've got holding you right now and let Jesus be that holds you up. Hallelujah. Step away from that you're holding on to. Give yourself totally to the One who walks on the impossible waters. Turn loose. And start walking and see what He can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, if that's you, let me come where you are. Jesus didn't give us this lesson in the Bible just for a history lesson of what happened to Peter. It's there for our admonition. It's there for our learning. It's there to remind us. If you're going through a storm, if you feel like you're a long ways from the Master, if you feel like you're out there and He's somewhere else, look out there somewhere on those waves. You're going to be the one that is a sea walker, a problem solver, a way maker, walking in the midst of your storm. Hallelujah. If you will dare to say, Lord, let me be where you are, He will say the same thing to you. Come. So what do we do with these people that are having a problem? We invite them to do the impossible. Praise God. Turn loose and start walking. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Him. Don't pay attention to anything. No matter what's gone wrong, don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. It's just you and Jesus now. It's worth focusing on this. You got to put your mind, your attention, your whole heart on coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. But when he saw that the winds were boisterous and the waves were troubled and rough, he started looking at the situation and he went down. Hallelujah. You will too. Lord, I've got problems. You don't know what problems is till you take your eyes off of the problem solver. Hey, look, if He's ever worked out the impossible waters for you once, He can do it again. Just take another step. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking to the author and the finisher of your faith. He knows the way that you're going. He knows what it takes to lift you up. He knows what it takes to keep you on the way that'll get you all the way to where you want to go. Hallelujah. Lord, if that's you, let me come where you are. He had already said, "It is I. Be not afraid." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes it seems like it's impossible to walk where He is, but He makes it possible. Thank you, Jesus. I can't think of anything more difficult than walking on top of the waves of a stormy sea. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I've gone through some difficult times in my life, and it seemed impossible I'd ever have that joy again. It seemed impossible I'd ever know that wonderful, wonderful, refreshing, glorious liberty. Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
You know what that scripture talking about when it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty?
Hallelujah.
It means exactly what it says. There's not bondage. You're not all tied up in knots. Hallelujah. Oh, look, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You don't have to watch out for the mean things around you. It's okay. Just abide in His presence. Abide in His Word. Keep going forward. Keep holding on to Him. He is your way maker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My Lord. So let him that is weak in the faith, him that is weak in the faith, we're instructed to receive. 14th chapter of Romans. This is part of our liberty, Christian liberty. Amen. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to doubtful disputations. In other words, don't get into a dispute because you've got your doubts about that person that can't seemingly get it straight. Hallelujah. Don't get in an argument or debate. Do you think he's going to make it this time? We've seen this before. Hallelujah. Don't do anything that's going to cause you to get in some kind of dispute, for doubt will be involved. Doubt and faith don't mix. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Receive them and believe they're going to make it. Hallelujah. How many times do you forgive somebody if they fail you? In one day. How many times can they mess up and you still need to forgive them according to the teaching of Jesus? Have any of us ever had to do it that many times in one day for any person? Hallelujah. All Jesus was teaching in His lessons of how many times we should forgive our brother, all He's teaching by using those numbers is just keep forgiving. Keep forgiving, keep receiving, keep having hope, keep holding on to your faith, keep going forward. love them, fellowship them, be happy with them. When they get more than you get, rejoice with them. When they get blessed, be blessed with them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Be thankful to God that they're able to testify. Be thankful to God, even if they fail again, that you were able to enjoy seeing some progress. And now you put your hope in God and you pray for them till something happens again. Because God just keeps forgiving. God just keeps having mercy. God just keeps making the crooked ways straight. And who are we to stand in the way of the work of God when His mercy is unfailing? It's new every morning. His mercy is everlasting, and with everlasting joy, He wants to draw water even from those who are weak in the faith. Hallelujah! Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one that may believe that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Now, could I just paraphrase this? One may believe in watching television and another may not. I'm reading the same thing, only I'm paraphrasing it for our day. Now, you can go in some places where a preacher can say what I just said, and there's going to be several people in the congregation that are going to suddenly become defensive and stop saying amen, and they're going to have a bitter attitude for the rest of the service. Hallelujah. Ain't no place in this kingdom for sweet and sour. It just got to be sweet. His love is sweet. His way is sweet. His presence is sweet. Hallelujah. Let he believes in celebrating Christmas sit down and worship together with those that don't pay any attention to it. And just have a good time praising God. Hallelujah. And don't talk about how you disagree with each other. And don't form sides and cliques and try to say we're of this side that doesn't see it like they do. Don't start a debate in your local church. There's no place for that sour stuff in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let not him that watches TV despise him that does it. Don't let him that doesn't watch it despise him that does. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Come on, praise God anyhow. Yes. From your heart. Yes. 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 I got to work on that. Then you hadn't praised him yet. Hallelujah. When you praise him, it don't matter what they watch, when they watch it, how many times they watch it. Just rejoice and be glad that you're able to be in the same house of God where there's hope. For everybody that's here. Hallelujah. Let him that does not wear finger rings despise those that do. Let not those that don't wear lipstick despise those that do. Let not those that refuse to cut their hair despise those that do. Let not those that wear pants and not dresses despise those that wear dresses only. Amen. Receive them. I'm not going charismatic, but if you think I am, you need to get your thoughts mutilated and put back on the mind of Christ. Because I'm teaching the Word of God. Hallelujah. This is not compromise. This is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. No matter what your fellow believers believe about prophecy, end time, whether they're pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, don't despise them. Who are you that judges another man's servant? All the Word is teaching here is, these people are serving God, only serve God. And He is the one that does the judging. Thank you, Jesus. God can make them to stand or not to stand. He just wants us to keep walking. Keep going on. Not 9:30 yet, so I'm doing fine. Praise God. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. That's kind of where I am. Amen. But you notice I've never run after you with a shotgun because you like some days better than others. Hallelujah. And don't you run after me with a bean shooter if I keep them all the same. Let's just love God and love one another. Some of you are more conservative than others. Some of you are more liberal. I happen to be a liberal thinker. When I get an idea, I don't hold back. You know, when I decided we might get $1 million, I said 10 million. Why not go ahead and say 20 now? What's the difference? Can't get $1 million anymore, I can get 30 million, so God could do anything. Now, if you're waiting to see the end of this year, if we got $10 million, not whether or not you think this is a work of God or I'm a man of God, you just all messed up. You need to get your sourpuss attitude crucified. Because what we have is worth $100 million plus just this one night in this service. We've been bought with a price, and it's a lot greater than you know about. And our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That simply means there's nothing my God can't do. He can supply your need, my need, our need, according to His riches and glory. And there's nothing we can ask for that we can't get if we need it. And so I'm a liberal thinker. And if I think I need something, I'm liable to ask for $100 billion. If you're conservative and you're having a struggle believing we can come up with 10, that's okay. I'm not going to despise you. But don't despise me for believing God can do it. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Let's praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not one that settles for one thing. I should be, I guess, in some people's eyes. I've been told many times, you need to concentrate on one thing. When are you going to make up your mind what you want to do with your life? When are you going to concentrate and stick with one thing? Heard that all my life. When I started to play musical instruments, I was told with these very concerned looks on people's faces, you need to stick with one instrument. I heard over and over from my teachers, a jack of all trades is master of none. But see, we're not all alike. Hallelujah. When I found out that I could produce a record album, I produced 100 of them. All different. They said I was crazy. I'd have done 1,000 if I'd have had time. When I found out I could play a trombone, I decided I wanted to play the trumpet and the clarinet and the flute and the bassoon, the oboe. Virtually every instrument in the band. And what did it take to do that? I had to do something beyond what the others around me were doing. And I had David Walters. He decided he's going to play the saxophone. But David concentrated on that saxophone. That's all he ever learned. He played the saxophone. Doug Minton learned to play the baritone. That's all he ever learned. And that's what he wanted to play. And that's what he played. John Hurd played the trumpet. That's all he studied. That's all he learned. Andrea played the clarinet. That's all she wanted to do. That's all she learned to do. And I could go on and on naming these band kids that I grew up with. But I wanted to play everything they played. Not only that, but I wanted to be able to write the music like the people that wrote the music for us all. I wanted to understand what had to be understood in order to get this done. What would a composer have to know before he puts this in black and white for others to read and produce sound? Maybe I'm crazy. But if I am, don't despise me. I won't despise you if you're sane. Some people think of it as an imbalance. I think of it as a real blessing. Praise God. I can go virtually to any place and sit down with any orchestra. And if they need any instrument today, if they need music written for it, if they need somebody to play it, give me a little time to brush up and put a lot of stuff in my teeth to make them stick, and I'll give them what they need. Hallelujah. God's good. But while they were all doing their thing, learning one instrument, and then going about doing all the other stuff, I asked the band director, would he give me permission to clean up the band room every day? He said, I've never had anybody ask me if they could do that. And he said, why do you want to? I said, because I want to learn all I can about music and all these instruments. And I said, and I was just a kid, but I said, if you'll let me do that, I promise I won't hurt anything. He said, we're going to have to promise not to let anybody else come in the room. But he said, if you're going to do it, I want, before you play any instrument or study any music after school lets out, I want these floors to be mopped. I want every chair to be set up correctly in its proper place. And I want all the music in the folders so it'll be ready for class the next day. He said, if you promise you'll do that, I'll give you a key to the band room. And you can come in after school as long as nobody else comes in that room, as long as you do your work. And he said, if I ever catch you not getting the band room clean first, I'll take your key away. So I was very diligent and I was very certain, making sure that I did it right because I was serious about wanting to learn this stuff. As soon as the bell would ring, while others were on their way home, I was on my way to the band room. I locked myself in. I scrubbed those floors. I polished those chairs. I polished and made sure those stands were all neat and all the music was in its proper place. When I stood back and I looked at it and everything was perfect, I could hardly wait to get my hands on those instruments. And I'd go back there and I'd get those instruments and I'd start playing one at a time, looking at the music. Going to the band director's desk and looking through all his books and all his music. Sometimes I'd stay at the school till 8 o'clock at night. Sometimes my parents would come looking for me. But they got to where they accepted that and they realized I was serious because when I got home, I continued on. Because the band director was always throwing away music that was mailed to him from these publishing companies. He gave me permission to gather it out of his waste baskets. I would take big stack of it home. And I got to where I could hear these sounds. I could hear these sounds. Sometimes at 3 in the morning, my mom and dad would sneak up to me behind me, scare me because I was absorbed. I was in another world. I was standing in my bedroom, 3 and 4 in the morning, looking at music spread out across my bed with a baton in my hand. And I was directing 400 and 500 people playing all these instruments. Now, my little room just had room for a bed and for me. But I was hearing them, and I was seeing them, and I was watching. Sometimes it's so beautiful, I would cry. Mom and Dad didn't understand. A lot of people didn't understand. Praise God. But I was going somewhere. I don't know, you know, today, you know, my direction at this point forward may not have anything to do with any of that anymore. But I thank God. I thank God that I learned something. If you put your mind to something and stick with it and dedicate yourself to it, you can finally make it to where it is you're wanting to go. And when they said you need to make up your mind what it is you want to do and stick with it, I finally got to where I had an answer. I said, I have. I want to learn to do it all. That's the one thing I want to do. I want to learn to play all those instruments. I want to learn to write all those parts. Amen. If I was a doctor, I'd want to be one of those that just rides around in a wagon and makes house calls and I just do it all. And when it comes to the Word of God, I just want all of it. I don't specialize in prophecy. I don't specialize in revelation. I don't specialize in some kind of standard or holiness issue. I don't specialize in the Old Testament. I don't specialize in the New Testament. I love the whole Word of God. And anywhere I can open it up, I can find joy there. I can find happiness there. I can find comfort there. I can find peace there. Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. I got to stop. I got to stop. Hallelujah. None of us lives to himself. No man die to himself. Whether we live to the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are his, the Lord's. For this end, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot in the Bible, and I'm not going to go into it because I got to stop, but pretend you're in Newington. I'm almost through. But there's a lot in the Bible where you don't have to be in the graveyard to be dead. And we're in the book of Romans. And Romans deals a lot with being dead and trespasses of sin and needing to be made alive. Hallelujah. So God, he is the judge of those of us who are on fire for God. And we're alive in the Lord. He's also the judge of those that are kind of set back and become a little fearful or doubtful or form some kind of attitude that is from the old way of life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what I don't like to have to do? I don't like to have to pull or force or try to make anybody do anything. When I was teaching music lessons, I enjoyed teaching those who wanted to learn. Thank you, Jesus. When I had to deal with these children, their parents were making them take music lessons. They didn't want to be there. I didn't want to have them there. They didn't like me teaching them, and I didn't like teaching them. But what goes around comes around. My dad went through all that with me, and I had some understanding. I knew what they were going through. But you know what? You can't make anybody do right. You can't force anybody to live right. You can't make anybody walk right, act right, or live up to your expectations. So why even try? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But what we can do is offer them what we've got. We got hope. We got joy. We got peace. We've got love. We have a goal ahead of us. We have a way to reach it. We got strength and power to get us there. Thank you, Jesus. If they don't want that, all the king's horses and all the king's men ain't going to make them do it. But we can still offer it. And offering it to those who accept it and those that don't, and just let them keep coming, sooner or later, some of their friends, some of their loved ones, find out what really is here, and they get in on it. There are going to be some people, some of your family members, going to be sitting back till they get old and they're ready for the grave, who just don't have any comprehension at all about this church or what you're into. But is that any reason for you to give up and quit? And I don't care what you say to them or how much you try to convince them. You're not going to get them to see this. The only hope you've got is for you to just let your light shine more today than it did yesterday. Be more faithful as you come toward the end of this journey than you were at the beginning. If you were excited when you got the Holy Ghost, you should be more excited today. If your loved ones that you would like to see in the church ever get in the church, they're going to need to look at you now and find you trying to get to church, no matter what they think, no matter what they say, no matter how they act. I'm determined I got to get to the place where my joy comes from. I got to get to the place where my happiness comes from. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. But the only thing important in my life, it's my God. And I meet Him at my church. Hallelujah. Words are easily spoken. But what we do is what's said. Amen. If you're going to say that church comes first in my life, be here. Early. Before it starts. Or quit saying it. Lest somebody be tempted to find fault and spring forth with sour stuff. We don't want that. We don't want no sour junk in here. Hallelujah. Be better not to say it if you can't do it. It'd just be better to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm almost through. Let's stand so I will quit. That's no guarantee. I'll finish up with Isaiah 51. Awake. I'm in the ninth verse. Awake. Everybody say awake.
Awake.
Put on strength. Awake, awake. Everybody say awake, awake.
Awake, awake.
We're not talking about some kind of a juice that you can drink now. Awake. Awake. Put on strength. O arm of the Lord, awake, as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab and wounded the dragon? Another way I could say this, aren't you the one that defeated the devil? Aren't you the one that got victory over sin? Aren't you the one that had the victory? Praise God. Aren't you the one that testified with joy like a river? Aren't you the one that found a way through your wilderness and you became satisfied on great things coming from God? Then why are you asleep? Awake. Awake. You've already wounded the dragon. You've already stomped on the devil's head. Now don't go to sleep on the same road where the bear is taking a nap. Stay in the ship. Stay in the tower. Stay in the automobile. Stay in the house. And stay on the road. Art thou not it which had dried the sea? The waters of the great deep that hath made the depths of the sea away for the ransom to pass over? Now you can just read across that and say, well, that's talking about God. Well, who do you think it is in you? Is it this Holy Ghost that you've experienced that which dried up the sea and made a way for God's people when there was no way? Is it this power and strength that you have right now, the same power that brought the dead out of the grave? Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion and everlasting joy. Everybody say everlasting joy. Come back to where it is. Return to where you once were and keep going. If you're in a race and you're falling behind, turn on the steam, catch up, and go ahead. With joy, return. Hallelujah. Sing better than you ever sung before. Louder than you ever been singing in the past. Praise more than you've ever praised before. Be joyful. Be exceedingly glad. Return. Let the redeemed. Have you been redeemed? Did Jesus die for your sins? Did Jesus shed His blood for you? Let the redeemed of the Lord return. Come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon your head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. If you came to church with your head down, leave here looking up. Hallelujah. If you came here feeling bad, go home feeling good. You shouldn't go to church feeling bad on your way to church. I don't care how sick you are. Hallelujah. Just let me make it to the house of God. These puny people that call and say, I can't make it because I don't feel good. That's all the reason more why you should get here. If you can come here, even if they have to put you on a stretcher and carry you into this place, what better place can you find than the place where faith can cause you to be made whole and save your doctor bills? Save you from paying those hospital bills. I'm too sick to go to church. That's the problem. You're sick of church. Let's come around the front. So let the sick of church come forward. And let those who may be sick in church come forward and get healed. Hallelujah. But whether you're sick of church or sick in church, we love you. We want you. And God loves you. Let the redeemed return to the Lord with joy. With joy. With joy. With joy. Spring up, O well. With joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. Spring up. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, show me the way again. Help me, Lord, to be renewed in my spirit, in my mind, in my heart. Help me to know, God, that the most important thing in life is my walk with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I preached at a church where when I got up to read my texts, the congregation walked out. And then they stood around outside, peeped through the windows, and ate watermelon while I preached. Amen. I preached in a church where we had a victory march. And the people got up to march, victory march. And they talked to each other about fishing, hunting, chewed gums. Chewed gum, talked about their jobs while they did their victory march. Hallelujah. I preached in congregations where one side was not into it because I wasn't preaching what they wanted to hear. And the other side rejoiced because I couldn't say it loud enough because they wanted those others to get it straight. That's not what we're talking about tonight. That's not what the work of God is all about. There's no place for division, no place for debate, argument. You know what? It's almost strange for any preacher to say those things today because most churches are filled with gossip, murmuring, complaining, complacency, backbiting, and people despising one another. And you need to really be thankful for what you've got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This is more precious than gold. What we have is more valuable than any monetary goal we have ever set. We're not chasing dollars. We're chasing the will of God. The vision we have will cost millions of dollars. That's easy for God. Amen. And God can bypass having to use money to get us there. Praise God. He's able to just take us there and cause everybody to wonder how we did it because nobody else could do that without spending at least $10 million. He may not want to put $10 million cash into our pockets. We might be tempted to spend it on hamburgers. Hallelujah. Praise God. But if He gave us a $10 million vision, if we'll keep our eyes on Jesus, He'll take us there. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Receive what you need from God tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one way. There's one road. One road. One way to get there. Hallelujah. Everlasting joy along the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We magnify your name. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, strengthen my brothers. Strengthen my sisters. Cause everybody in this place to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let every man, woman, boy, and girl be strengthened. Bring joy to our lives beyond any joy we've ever known. Let peace like a river flow in your people. Lord, cause us to have revival without having to have an evangelist. Thank you, Jesus. Cause us to have camp meeting without having to wait on June to get here. Thank you, Jesus. Cause us to want to do things, God, that'll please our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm able to preach past 9 o'clock. Hallelujah. And still have an audience. Thank you, Jesus. And people that do love God, that love the Word of God, want to serve God. Thank you, Jesus. Want to live for God. We spend 8 hours a day on our job, some people more than that. We dedicate ourselves to get a little old paycheck that barely goes around, if it goes around, doesn't quite cover all the bills. Prices of everything getting higher and higher. If you're able to make it, you have to work more and more and more and more. What's wrong with 2.5 hours of church? Where you can get everything free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. To our internet people watching and listening, if I were you, and you're out there tonight, and you don't have a church to call home, amen. If this is the only church you're able to come to, please, please, let this be your church. Let me be your preacher. If you cannot make it to this building, everybody keeps telling me, well, you need to find them a local church to go to. Well, I've done it over and over and over and put them in a den of wolves. So I'm just saying to you, if you can find a good church where you can get joy like a river and have peace and have a good pastor to feed your soul and have people to treat you right, that's what you need. Find one in your town if you can, but if you can't, let this be your church. And let me tell you what. The faithful people of God go to church regularly. You need to be here in every service. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Twice on Sundays. Right now we don't meet on Tuesdays on the internet. But we're here praying and talking to the Lord. You need to find that to be your time to pray and talk to the Lord. Amen. And we support this work. Don't sit at home in some foreign country and use an excuse, I can't get there so I don't have to pay tithes. Look, if this is your church, if I'm your pastor, go to NorwichTabernacle.com and be a member, support this work, and receive the things of God from this place. We'll keep paying the bills, and we will see you when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We've been living on miracles with 20 and 25 people paying all the bills so that you can see, so that you can hear. But this is not a show. This is not entertainment. The only reason we're paying these bills is to get you saved. Hallelujah. And when you get saved, you'll help us pay the bills. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're within driving distance, you don't have any business watching it on the internet. Praise God, or listening to it when you can be here. Thank you, Jesus. But, please don't turn me off and don't get mad at me. I'm not talking to you any lighter or easier than I talk eye to eye with everybody in this place. Praise God. I'll stand up in front of any one of you. When I see you going the wrong direction, I'll tell you what I think. And thank God you're able to keep coming around. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm just telling you, if you're in driving distance to this church and you want this to be your church, if this is a place where you find food for your soul, you need to work out your schedule and start coming here. Praise God. But if you don't see fit to do that, then keep tuning in. Keep letting us be here for you. Because there is strength in this place. And we don't want to lose that contact. We don't want to lose that connection with you. We love you. And the only reason I'm saying you need to be here is because we love you. And we want you here for your sake, not to build our number. But there's just not anything quite as good as being able to be among the people of God, shaking their hands and saying, I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. Standing around in a place like this, clapping our hands together. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. There's victory in this place. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And for our friends watching us on television, amen. Our television ministry, it's offensive to some Pentecostals I associate with for me to even be on television. But I'm not here for them. And I'm not going to bow down to them to keep you from hearing what we have to offer. I serve God. I don't serve any credentials that I may carry. I serve God. Hallelujah. And if you're watching us, and thousands of people are, tens of thousands of people are watching us every week. If you're watching us, and if there's any way that you can find this church and get here during service, you need to come. Thank you, Jesus. You really do. You need to come here. Don't be afraid of us. Look, think back on your life. Were you afraid to live the life you lived? Nightclubs, barrooms, dope, all kinds of family disputes. These folks here don't leave after they've had a big fight. We're here to help and love and encourage each other. Don't be afraid. And don't use that excuse, I couldn't find it. Norwich Main Street is easy to find. And if you want to find it, you can find it. I don't buy that excuse. I've been looking for Norwich Tabernacle for years and couldn't find it. No, you didn't look. Those that want to find this place, find it. So come and be part of it. Let us shout with victory, your victory. Don't live your life just going in the same old circle over and over when you can enjoy this great blessing that can be experienced here. No matter what your friends think or your loved ones say, they don't really care that much about you if they try to hold you back from this great place called Norwich Tabernacle. This is the greatest place in Norwich, Connecticut and the surrounding towns that you could ever want to be a part of. Hallelujah. There's no Grange. There's no club, there's no fraternity, there's no any kind of meeting going on better than this. One more time, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.